On this week's episode of the Wealth Collective podcast, we take a look at values-based advice and why values are important when building your financial plan. Enjoy.
Everything we talk about on today's podcast is general advice only because we don't know your individual personal situation. Before you act on anything we've spoken about, you should chat to your financial advisor, and if you don't have one, feel free to reach out to us. Now, on to today's show. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wealth Collective podcast. It's Pete Pennicott here and I'm joined by my co-host, as always, Zach Masters.
Hey Pete, how you going?
Feeling good. Footy finals upon us in Melbourne, so
that's what he come up quick, I reckon. It's Seems like not that long ago that we were starting the season and in and out of lockdowns and whatnot.
Yeah, well, I think we're back, and I think a few Blues fans are licking their wounds and quite a dramatic exit.
Yeah, and a few that took the day off yesterday. So shout out to those guys.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, they just called in sick. They
commiserations. So, well, we don't want to go down that sort of sad path, but we feel for those people. But for the people that are still kicking on, fantastic. And nicer weather's coming, spring. Side of new life. Can't think of a really good segue, but what do we want to talk about today, Zach?
So we're going to talk about values-based advice and why values are important when building your financial plan. So you might have heard us speak a little bit in the past about like goals-based advice and goals-based investing. You would have heard like holistic financial planning and all those kind of terms. But what we want to talk about today, and this is kind of where, as financial advisors, we've been heading lately, is around this values-based advice. So what is this values-based advice, Pete?
Well, I think it goes to the heart of what is a common misconception of financial planning, that it's all about the dollars. It's all about the money, the numbers. When I think while they're important, and they're definitely they have their place in a good financial plan, I think the strongest foundations that a financial plan can be built off and where you start out is what is most important to you in life. So what matters? And the way we look at that and we think is a really good place to start and build those foundations from is understanding what your core values are.
Yeah. And then we, as like in the past, we've looked at trying to, we've been all focused about making a client's financial world better and looking after their financial world, and we've kind of taken a little spin on that as well, as turning, like, we feel like our job is now to make their life better in a way as well. And this is where the values become really important.
Yeah. And I think if you look at the history of financial planning, is like financial planning 1.0 was very solutions product-based.
Product, yeah.
Financial planning 2.0, goals-based. So like understanding what your goals are and, building strategies and sort of making that happen. I think this is almost... we've got Web 3.0. We've got financial planning 3.0. And I truly believe this is where the industry is headed, and think for the better. Like, and that's going to be values based advice. So really uncovering what matters most to our clients. How do we help them live their best life? So that's where we're going to start. And I think.
And before we get into that, what's the difference between like values based advice versus goals based advice or goals-based investing?
Yeah, well, I think, if you're thinking of a famous movie, Shrek, it's almost peeling the layers of an onion back. So I think when you're looking at that, is values are sort of the next layer down after goals. And it sort of goes to like, your values don't change very often, whereas your goals might.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do you want to live your life? Why do you get out of bed? So those things are built on a life of experiences. Take into account your personal biases, your preferences, and your philosophical beliefs. We're all going to be different, but they're so powerful and they're so strong, and they define a lot of the, where we get enjoyment, what worries us. So that's how I think about values, because if we can capture the positive aspect of those values, I think it really does give you a much better chance to make more long-lasting impact in your financial plan and more likely to stick to it through those challenging times.
Yeah. So say you get a new client come in, how do you go about trying to uncover what their values are? And when we're talking about the first step of the financial planning process, so if we're talking about why values are important when building your financial plan, how do we get started with this?
Yeah, well, there's a variety of ways. Like, there's multiple ways to pull back that onion, sticking to that analogy. I think like we try and, I'm sort of inspired by the work of Simon Sinek. And if you haven't heard, he's got to be a TED talk, starting with why. And I think that is sort of what we would like to try and apply the lens to. And almost instead of having the why, then the how, then the what, we've got our values, our goals, and then our strategies, and in that order. And it's trying to open up the dialogue, so help clients in a very comfortable and safe space and sort of let the guard down a little bit and almost pour your heart out. So there's, and just sort of talk about what's really important to you. And I know you've run a session where I've been the client and sort of, it gets emotional and you sort of, I'm a trained professional in this and you can't, it's really hard not to talk and open up about it. But what you're doing is trying to ask the right questions just to sort of create that safe space. So they can say, like, they can articulate and say, this is what actually matters most to me. And if all else fails, if I can have these things and achieve these things, I'll be satisfied, I'll be happy, I'll be fulfilled. And sometimes it's not just about that dopamine hit of like something, like going on a holiday or doing that, but it might be, well, why do you want to go on that holiday? Tell me that's that next level of questioning, because I wasn't able to do a lot of that as a kid. I'd like for my children to be able to experience this, or I'd like to go to these places with my friends.
Yeah.
Because that's going to make me feel really, really happy and sort of like I'm living my best life. And that's the concept we refer it back to.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of the change that we've made, is that it's away from just helping you with your financial world and, taking control of the financial side of your life. But we feel now there's financial advisors that the role's changing a little bit, and that our job is now to help you live a better life, as we've mentioned before, improve your whole life rather than just the financial side.
Yeah, because the finances have such a big impact on it. So we know that we're having all these rich conversations, and I think now there's more tools available that we can actually link these things together. I think it was always happening loosely in the background where values were driving what people were telling us was, this is what I want to do. We just didn't have a way of really connecting the dots and going, oh, that's why that's so important to you. Because sometimes it's not always, like, humans aren't always perfectly rational. And this makes sense because, the values part of the piece is always linked to your sort of your limbic brain. So it's sort of that emotional, that feeling part.
Yeah.
Which is very, very powerful. More powerful than the rational brain that we've got in there. So, and I think if we can get to the crux of that and allow people to have that conversation either by themselves or if they're part of a couple, great. Like, you get to sit there and we sort of allow some airspace for each of them to sort of speak individually and sort of voice how they're feeling. And it is more feeling. But then you start to link that back and go, okay, well, if that's important to you, what are the things that we could set as goals for you coming up into the future that would make that sort of scratch this itch, for lack of a better word. So
what's an example of these types of, when we're talking about values and goals? So say we've got a value of we're wanting to spend more time with family and loved ones. How do we then start to dig down and start to get some goals that we can create a financial plan on?
Yeah. So like if you're someone who has put that down, you might be going, oh, look, I'm working really hard at the moment. I'm doing it to provide for my family. So you go logically, okay, well, from a financial standpoint, that makes sense. You should be happy with that.
Yep.
But there might be something where you go, hang on, I'm not happy with the balance I've got here. So tell me about, like, why do you want to spend more time? And who is that with? So who are the people you're thinking about when you're saying that? And then, that's a conversation that starts. And it might be, well, I don't know, I'm not able to be there for XYZ event or XYZ.
I'm missing a birthday party. Yeah. Or getting home late from work and I'm not there for dinner.
Or sporting. Events. I'm not there for family dinner. I'm not there for not doing the bath time routine. Or, hey, I haven't been on a date night with my significant other for a while. Or, you know what? I've got all these friends and people that matter to me a lot and I haven't seen them in ages. And that's probably happened to a lot of people during COVID. That's a common
one that I've been getting quite a bit, is it? The social one? No one wants to
spend time with you.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm too busy. Is that they're finding that now out of COVID, it's that social aspect has become a lot and it's hard to keep up with. And
yeah, and I think it's not, and this is the thing going, it's not financial, but it's a part of like how happy are you? But I think the way you bring it back to as part of your plan is you set a budget for it and go, well, like make it a goal. Doesn't all goals don't need to be financial?
Or it might even be that the there's financial ramifications for doing what you're doing as well. So it's not that someone might be earning a really good income, but they mightn't necessarily need that income. Mm. But what they need back is time. So yeah. It's going like, what are the ramifications of you dropping to 3 days a week, or like, what does that look like for some people? Like, these are it's not just about it can be the financial impacts of making those decisions and weighing up what that looks like and what's more important as well.
Yeah, and it is, that's a really good point, because it is those trade-offs, because there are trade-offs with this. Like, you know, living your best life often is like a step in a slightly different direction where you're not prioritizing financial gain. It might be something different. And I can tell you, the people that have done this and taken that slight detour, or in some cases a complete 180 almost.
Yeah.
And they've done it with the knowledge of going, they've thought through it and they've got to the core and the heart of going, this is actually going to make me really happy. And then, you know, taking that step and going, okay, this matters more to me than the bottom line. So
an example of that. I did a session with some of my clients where we did a values based session and went through all of that, and it resulted in them taking a year off work and traveling around Australia and going riding around Australia and doing all awesome. That type of stuff, which is in terms of you accruing financial wealth, you're obviously not working for a year and spending funds and whatnot, so it's not necessarily improving your financial position necessarily, but it's understanding like, yes, I have the resources to be able to do this, and this is one of these goals that I've had, and not putting it off any longer. So that's the type of impact that these values can have.
Yeah, definitely. And I think once you uncover them, I think that's the starting point, because from experience, the people that get this right and the people that are open to this process, they just stick to the plan better. So they adhere to it better. And we know that sticking to the plan means you're more likely to have success with your plan.
And how do you check in that you're having success in terms of, like, you know, wealth's an easy one to track. Like, what have we returned for the last 12 months? What is our net worth at year on year? All those types of things, they're easy to track. How do we track where we're at from a values perspective and how we're feeling on the way to that?
Well, I think like anything, like whatever gets measured gets done. And I think the best thing about going through a values-based advice process is you write down all these things. So you put them down somewhere, or kindly your financial advisor might actually be doing it on your behalf. But you're sort of getting it down paper and going, and by the putting something down on paper is so powerful, because it means you've had to think through it and gone, oh, I've committed to that. Okay, I've said this is important to me. Okay, it's out in the universe. Great. The next step, if we sort of go going outwards now from the onion, we've got values in the middle, we've established those, then it goes to goals. And it's sort of going, well, how do we add some goals that link into these values? Because otherwise, if you're going, oh, I've got all these goals, none of them link to my values, or we've got something wrong there. Yeah. So basically, you've got a life that is completely disconnected, potentially, to your core values.
Yeah.
So even though you might be achieving all the financial success in the world, well, you might not be feeling very content and living your best life. So I think it is attaching some SMART goals. And SMART goals, I think we've been through this before, but specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-based or time-bound. So you might frame it there. And I think going back to that, what were we talking about? Like spending more time with those that might be going, hey, look, I'm gonna commit to catching up with one of the people in my family or friend network and go out for dinner once a month.
Yeah.
Okay, that's something that's a good forward step. And after 6 months, you check in and go, well, have I done six of these? I did four. Okay, well, that's not great. What happened?
Yeah.
And that's okay. But at least you probably wouldn't have done the four anyway if you hadn't have sort of written it down.
And a lot of it can be on feeling as well, like how are you feeling with each particular value? A lot of it's a feel thing rather than having necessarily things to measure and go off.
Well, I think the qualitative thing is there, and you try and put some numbers on it.
Yeah.
And speaking to athletes, when they're like the high performance athletes and the process they go through, like they have to sort of mark on a sheet. That's not a sheet anymore, but an iPad.
Yeah.
Every day, like, how are you feeling? Like, how are you feeling? How'd you sleep? Like, all these are qualitative assessments of things, but a quantitative output that gets created because you go, well, I'm feeling like a 9 out of 10 or an 8 out of 10. Okay, we'd like to see progress there. And you'll know in yourself, like, how this feels. And I think just that process of going through it makes sense. And
yeah,
if you go, okay, it might be something you can measure as going, I'm trying to commit to six, or might just be, I'd like to be more active and healthy. And that might not have any financial outcomes, because you might go, but I just feel better in myself.
Yeah.
But you might try and link some things to it if you're a numbers person, going, all right, I'd like to drop X amount of pant sizes or this weight.
Right. Yeah.
Or I'd like to be able to lift something different. So all those things, and they might not be instant as well, because you might have bigger goals that take longer to get towards. But what you're trying to do is have something where you're checking in regularly and monitoring your progress. Because we know measuring stuff gets actions, gets results, and then you're more likely to be closer to living your best life.
Definitely. Then in terms of, I guess we haven't spoken too much then in terms of the actual financial plan, but how do you work those values in? Is it just a mixture of the goals and then the strategies for each goal, or how do you kind of go about it?
Yeah, like I think that's it. It's just putting them there and putting them front and center. So it's unmistakable these are part of your plan. They're not actions. They're your core values. So they're the system of beliefs, the core tenets that you live by.
Mm.
They're not something you go, that's something you tick off and go, it's done. It's sort of, that's will stay with you, and they don't change a lot over the course of your life. But you have the going, these are the objectives based on those, and they're linked there. So you can link them up and go, this one matches this value. And then you have your strategies off the back of it, because there might be financial strategies, there might be non-financial strategies that need to take place. But all of that should be at least documented and then reviewed.
Yeah.
So, nothing, life doesn't stay still. I think if we've not learned that in the last 3 years, I don't know what we've learned. but life will throw you curveballs often, quite severe ones from time to time. And I think that's the best thing you can possibly do, is just sort of keep lifting up the hood on it, reviewing and going, does this still hold true? And if it doesn't, great. Reset, recalibrate.
Yeah.
And if it does,
what's it changed great. To?
Okay, that's good too. So I don't think there's no judgment that goes into it. And you just want to make sure you're checking in on your progress, good, bad, or indifferent. Don't hide away from when things are going not ideally. I was trying to be a bit more gentle with it. I'm just thinking like a health or fitness one. It's like, oh, often it's hard to get going, but I think the most powerful thing is like you've started, you've given it a go, and now you're checking back in and you're keeping yourself accountable. Great. Like you're far more likely to succeed long-term if you do it that way.
Yeah. Before we wrap up today's episode, what is there anything else in terms of values-based investing or why values are important in building a financial plan that you'd leave listeners with?
No, I think that I think we've summed it up pretty well. I think the main thing is if you're curious about it, you're not sure about it, there's stuff on our website. You can sort of Google values-based and Picada together, or either of our names, and you'll be able to find something.
You're about to put out a blog, aren't you soon?
Yeah, I was inspired by preparing for this, so it's always good to just get my thoughts out on... not on paper, but somewhere. So written down somewhere. So practice what I preach. So write it down. I think that's probably it. And I think the other thing that values-based is sort of becoming pretty topical with is like, how do you want your money invested as well?
Yeah.
So like the purpose behind everything. So I think the world is moving towards this. Get on board. Because I think definitely in all aspects of your financial world, people are better able to take these things into account than we've ever been. So
it's an interesting timing. The Treasurer's come out today. Did you see that?
No, I haven't seen it.
A round table with the super funds and asking them to put more into housing projects and things like that to try and, they're going to try and look to put some legislation in place to change the way that super funds can invest and things like that, which is interesting timing. So it all comes back to this, but that comes back to that ethical and sustainable investing, which we see quite a bit of. It's not necessarily that you want to live in a better place as a financial goal, that it's more of a worldwide look at things and you want the world to be better and left behind in a better place. But that then feeds into financial ramifications of how you want to invest and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, no, I love it. And on that one, don't worry about things that are out of control as well. So the primary thing is trying to boil it down to things you can control. So don't feel
control
like you have to...
controllables.
Yeah, don't feel like taking on a values-based advice approach is going to be... fighting the world's battles all the time. Like, I think there's something in there for everyone that can be sort of broken down into something that's actionable and something that can sort of achievable as well. So no, it's good. I'm excited. Financial planning 3.0, here we come.
That's it. As always, if you've got any questions, email us at connect@picada.com.au. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Thanks, Pete.
Thank you.